Amen. Exodus chapter 20. We've talked a little bit together about what's going on. Remember, God is speaking out loud. God, the voice of God out of the cloud on the mount there, God is saying these words. It's not just Moses sort of reading them out. This is God giving to us these commandments. Now, you, if you are born again, if you've asked Jesus into your life, you are now no longer under the law. You and I are out from under the law. The law was served as a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus. But does that mean we don't obey the law? No, see, I've been now set free from the bondage of sin. Now I can obey God. And He wants me to obey. And Jesus tells us about the law in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But I say to you," Jesus wants me to know, Bob, it starts in your heart. It's not just that action, but it's deeper than that. And now you're mine. I love you. You belong to me. I want you now to go deeper with me. Walk with me. So remember, when we study the Ten Commandments, we don't obey God because He's going to beat us up if we don't. Some of you have this picture of God. He's old, the poor guy. He's really thin, bony fingers, leaning over the banister of heaven, pointing at you. And when you blow it, He is going to slap you, hit you on top of the head, knock you into hell, and you knew that was coming. I don't know where you got that picture. But that's not what He's doing. When you come running into the throne room boldly, "Oh my gosh, did you know I was going to get fired? I didn't know I was going to get fired. I got fired." God doesn't even stand up. He says, "Bob, I know. It's okay." "Yeah, well, how are we going to pay the bills? What are we going to do? How are we going to..." I mean, what? You don't pray that way? You guys are so calm. "Lord, I lost my home." "Lord, there's no doors. I mean, it was a mobile home. It's gone. Lord, they took it." See, I pray differently than you. I get excited. And He says, "It's all right. You trust me?" "Yes, sir. You know I do." "Rest." I'll be there telling my wife something. I was telling this to someone earlier. I tell my wife something I really think is funny. I tell you guys things I think are funny too, and you just go, oh Bob. Oh, just heal him, Lord. You know." I tell my wife something I really think is funny. And I look at her and I say it, and she just looks back at me and goes, "You are hyper. You can't win. You know, what are you going to do?" I get so excited about this. God speaking to you and I. He says out loud, "Here are these. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt. I did it by my power. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. I showed you what I can do. You see how I take care of you. Now walk with me the rest of your life." And the commandments go on. And last week we took a few more, but now what we're going to do tonight is take the last two. And they're really, the commandments have been interesting. I hope you think so. I think so. I'm miserable. Because I'm thinking, well, I'm glad they're on 11 or out of broken nose. You don't feel that way, do you? I know. I think, oh man, there's no reason for people to come to church tonight, Lord. I could just say this out loud to myself, rebuke me, and walk off. No one needs to hear this but me. But look, He says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Remember, we talked about that. "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is living in your house within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and on all that is in them, or all that in them is, rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. That brings us up to what we want to take a look at this evening. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's talk just a second about the difference between reputation and character. We're dealing with reputation here. There's a difference between reputation and character. And we talked before as we studied taking the name of the Lord in vain, that reputation is important. Certainly much more important to the world than to you and I, but it's still important because if you want to be in ministry, you have to be of good report. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be sinless or no one could do it except Jesus. Of course you're not sinless. I'm not sinless. And of course people will bring that up to you. But you see, of good report, how are you living right now? Today. Reputation. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Reputation, which is, that's a little hint. That's the way pastors hint to you. Reputation is what people think you are. That's your reputation. What people think you are. That's your reputation. Character is what you are. It's what you really are. Are they different? Many times, your character, my character, my reputation, they're different many times. I know men and women in ministry, friends of mine, who have a reputation of really loving people. But they don't. I sometimes wonder, what are you doing in ministry? They can't stand people. Go figure. Oxymoron. Like giant economy. They don't love people, yet they're in ministry. Their reputation is, oh man, that guy is a man of God. But the truth is, the character is, the guy hates people. How do you put those together? You can't. God knows my character. He knows what I am. He just knows. He's God. He knows what you are. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Is that a song? Anyway, I thought that would get past you, so I'm proud of you. Very good. God knows what you're all about. Now, you can tell people how loving you are. You can tell people how you love to pray. You can tell people anything you want to tell them. But the fact still remains, sometimes there's a difference between reputation and character. What God is wanting us to do is, as we walk with Him, those should come together. Somewhere down the road, they're going to come together. Your reputation will begin to be what your character really is. Now, what the commandment is talking about is bearing false witness against your neighbor, hurting their reputation. You're not going to hurt their character. You're not going to get near it. God knows what the character is, but you could hurt someone's reputation. And God says, thou shalt not do that. That's the commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. To bear means to speak or to testify. And listen to this, it also means to witness either by taking in or giving out. To witness by either taking in or giving out. So it doesn't only mean something you say, it could be something you let happen. For example, an example would be, there are times when you call people forward to witness, but they never say a word, they just stand there and watch. Normally, wedding ceremonies are that way, true? You'll get someone who's of age to stand up as witnesses. They don't say anything, they just stand there and breathe. They take in. And then they sign a piece of paper saying, yes, I stood there and breathed while they got married. I was there, so I am a witness. I didn't say anything, didn't have a part, I was best what? Best whatever I could be. Right? So to bear witness means to bear would be to testify or to witness either by taking in or putting out, giving out. Thou shalt not testify false. False meaning wrong or untrue or deception, which can be, you know, sort of part true, not part true, sort of. Deceived, deception. When Satan said to Eve, did Elohim say? Did Almighty God? Now, when you read chapter 2, you of course, Genesis, I'm sure you all remember this. In chapter 2, Genesis, God goes by Jehovah. I mean, the God who will take care of it, the providing God. Now, Satan uses a different term. Did Elohim, Almighty God. Let's forget about the providing and the taking care of part. Let's just call him all-powerful. He's in charge. He's big. He's bad. He's mean. He's power. Notice how Satan will do it. He deceives. Just a little bit different so that I can start thinking. Satan says, did Almighty God say you can't eat from any of these trees? Now, Eve, who knew better, used, instead of Jehovah, she goes on to use the same term. Yes, no, Almighty God, Elohim, he didn't say it that way. You see, now she is already on his wavelength, in his pattern. She's been deceived already. She's tricked. She's now headed down the wrong path, and she's going to eat us out of house and home, is what's going to happen next. To bear is to speak or to testify. False is deceptive or wrongly, untruth. So you shall not speak or testify or take in deception or untruth against your neighbor. Wow. Whew. And of course, if you're really religious, then you say, I agree with that, brother. So, who's my neighbor? Right? Remember the Pharisee wanting to justify himself? Oh, then who's my neighbor? Jesus tells a parable of what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the question, who's my neighbor? Remember the answer, you go and be like the Good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? Everybody you run into that needs you. Everybody you run into. It's not just this block. That house across the street and these two houses in there. They're our neighbors only. If they're not in eye shot, they're not our neighbors. No. Whoever needs you. Wherever you're at the moment. Whatever's going on in your life. It could be down at Safeway. God forbid. Or someplace like that. That you could actually run into a neighbor. Now, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Listen closely. What we say about others must be true. And we should speak only about known truth. Right? I'll explain that further now. Beyond personal knowledge, no comment should be given. Feel bad yet? I feel miserable. I have a little note here that says, how embarrassed would each of us be if someone had tape recorded every conversation for the last week, every one of our conversations, and then of course brought it in and played it. How embarrassed would we be? Because we couldn't deny anything. Right now we're safe, nobody knows. See the difference between reputation and character? People thought you were a nice person until they played that tape of your last... No, we wouldn't do that. Nobody had a recorder, don't worry. Although the group Daniel Amos, the Christian group called Daniel Amos in the 1970s, sang a song called Horrendous Disc. And the words were... I won't give you all the words, but... This is your life. You beat your wife. We'll spare the gory details and simply say, recording artist, God sees it all. Recording artist, he has total recall. It is an art hiding murder in your heart. You are making a horrendous disc that's going to be played back at the judgment day, unless, of course, you accept Jesus Christ to wash that away and be totally clean. Now, aren't you glad salvation is by grace? Because God has total recall. And everything will come back that is not paid for fully. Why would anybody want to pay for their own? Why would I be such a fool as to want to stand there on the judgment day and explain to him what I meant? Don't we do that to one another? Oh, I didn't mean you were ugly. What I meant, I just chose my words wrong. I love that one. Yeah, your words. Yeah, doesn't James bring that up? Let me show you, and I don't want to drag this out. I don't want to take too long, but I think that we need to get a grasp of this so that we understand what we're doing. If you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, then it takes the Holy Spirit. He must fill me with the Spirit. But I have to... He puts in there the want to's, which is worse than having the can't help it's. He puts it in there, and what we want to do is begin to become like Him. I want my reputation to be good, but I want my character. God will build your character. He's working on it now. Your reputation could be anything. God only knows what your reputation is. Some people like you, some people hate you. And you're still you. You weren't doing different things. How did that happen? It's reputation. Somebody broke the commandment. Somebody said something they shouldn't have said. Somebody listened, took in, witnessed without speaking up something they shouldn't have taken in. And it goes on. And look at this. Let me show you five ways to break this commandment. It helps you to understand the commandment. How can I break this, Lord? I have broken it probably six ways, but I'll show you five. Number one, slander. The most obvious. Slander. The commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Slander. What is slander? It is a lie. An outright lie invented and spread with the intent to do harm. It's done all the time in the political world. Slander. You can be sued for that if somebody can really prove it on paper, etc. Slander. A lie. A lie that is spread, knowing that it's a lie, spread on purpose to hurt you for whatever reason. Financially, emotionally, mentally. Somehow, some way, somebody just outright lies about you. Has it ever happened to you? Chances are real good. Chances are real good. That's one of the ways to break this commandment. Tale bearing. Or do we dare say the word? Gossip. Tale-bearing is repeating a report about someone without careful investigation. And I'm going, have I ever repeated a report about someone without checking it out? Well, not in the last 30 minutes. Tale-bearing. Hey, are you one of the ones people get on the phone immediately and call? All the way even from Germany? If you are, there's a reason they're doing it. because they know who to talk to get it around. Are you one of the ones that seems to know everything about everything? Watch out. Because this ninth commandment destroys the reputation of people. And God says, you shall not do that. I shall not do that, he says. It's a commandment from the Lord, our God. Are you a gossip? I looked it up in Webster's today. And you know, pastors, when they have nothing else to do, they just read the dictionary. It makes great Bible studies. Webster's. Someone... Now, this is Webster's, ladies. Okay? Someone who tells a tale without checking out the details, usually a woman. I didn't say that. That's right in the dictionary. I don't know why he put that. Obviously, that dictionary was not written in the 90s. Because it would have said usually a man. Right? Because things have changed. I don't know why he said that. I threw it in because you can go look it up and that's what he says. But we know better. We're Christians. Usually a Christian. If you want to throw that in there. Tale bearers. Repeating a report about someone without careful investigation. That is gossip. There's another way to break this commandment. This is kind of interesting too. Creating or fostering false impressions. Have you heard this one? Hey, did you hear about Bob? No, what? Oh, I thought you heard. Never mind, just pray for him. What did you just do? Oh, there's something wrong with Bob. What is it? He's hyper, isn't he? What is it? There's something wrong. What have you just done? Hey man, did you hear about Bill and his wife? What? What? Oh gosh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything. I thought you knew. Ever happened to you? Don't you hate that? Oh, now you got to tell me anything. Tell me a lie. Just say something. I mean, in love, because I want to pray for him. Which Bill? Where? How? How come? And she finally leave that jerk? What? What? Reputation. You didn't say anything, but now everybody knows. Hey, pray for the so-and-so family. Why? Well, I'm not free to give you details. Just, it's trouble. Pray for them. What are we doing? We're breaking the ninth commandment is what we're doing. Creating or fostering false impressions. Here's another one that just gets us every one. Oh, I was sorry to see this in the definition. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Just take a little knife and twist it. Aren't you glad you're not guilty of these? I feel miserable. Silence. You ever do that one? Three people are standing around and one of them says, man, I just don't think so-and-so has a heart for the Lord. The other one, really? Why do you say that? Well, I just saw her the other day and you should have seen how she was treating. Really? No, I'm just standing there going. And of course I walk away and go, see those two girls? Man, what gossips. Because see, I was silent. I didn't take part in that. You and I silently have just broken the ninth commandment. We have just broken that commandment. We have borne false witness against our neighbor by keeping our mouth closed. We should have spoken up and said, people, stop it. We can't do this. Now we all. You get embarrassed. What am I? I'm going to say that and they're going to laugh at me. I'm going to say that and they're going to, Most of you have tried it. You've tried to be a Christian. You get ripped up. People eat you alive. And you're hanging out with them and calling them friends too. That's what I don't understand about some of you guys. Let's don't go to that movie. Oh, why? Because it's rated R. Oh, yeah, wimpo. Look at him. And they all jump on you. You're going, I wanted to go anyway. I'll pay everybody's way. Because I love you guys and I just want to bless you. Now, you wimp, stand up, fight them all. Fisticuffs, if you have to. I'll keep you from going to that movie. No, not us. Because we want the compromise. Because compromise is easy. I can do it without giving any effort or thinking about it. Hey, there's another one. The fifth way. You have slander, you have gossiping, tale-bearing, you have creating or fostering false impressions, you have silence. And then we have the fifth way, flattery. Flattery. Create a false impression by saying something to someone that's not true. And everybody knows. I call it the, well, this may be too old for you, but the Eddie Haskell syndrome. That's a nice dress you're wearing, Mrs. Cleaver. When he thinks that's the ugliest thing on the earth, that's a lie. Then he walks and she goes, thank you, Eddie. He walks in the room, boy, your mother's a geek. And you little weasel, you're talking to... You're breaking the ninth commandment. You're bearing false witness. We want to stop that. Don't take on that syndrome, that Eddie Haskell syndrome. It's easy to do. Slander. That's a lie invented, spread to do harm. Intentionally slandering someone. Gossiping. Repeating a report about someone without careful investigation. Creating or fostering false impressions. Pray for so-and-so. I just can't tell you any details. Silence. Remain silent when you know the truth about something. And of course, flattery. Creating that false impression by saying something that everybody knows to be a lie. Ooh, love your hair, you know. No one ever says that to me, so you guys are fine, sir. That's how we can break that commandment. That's how. Have you done any of them? Don't raise your hand. Maybe it's time that we all began to cry out to God, that He could help us. James says it's the tongue. No man can control the tongue. We can't do it. A little fire burns down a whole forest. And it's that tongue thing. How can we keep that commandment? So now that we see how to break it and what it means and how to break it, how can we keep it? Let's look at the bright side. 1 Peter 2:23. Just write this down. You can go look at it later. I'll read it to you, but don't trust me. Look it up. Because you don't need me. You need Jesus. So you use your Bibles. You read them. You look. 1 Peter 2:23. Speaking about Jesus. Jesus, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. You see the answer how to keep the commandment? Be quiet and let God handle your reputation while He's working on your character. Be quiet. I'll read it again. Jesus, who we're speaking about, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. He didn't answer back. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself to God, to Him that judges righteously. How can I ever, ever come out of this? Commit myself to God. Matthew, where we read, I don't think I have it written here. Maybe I do. Let me look. I don't think so. Yeah, I do. No, I don't. I should never use notes. Jesus talking to those who want to follow Him. Just on the other page, here it is. Jesus said unto His disciples, Matthew 16:24-25. If any man, that includes women, any of mankind, will come after Me, wants to follow Me, let him deny himself or herself, take up the cross, or his cross or her cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Do you want to not break the ninth commandment? I say, I don't want to break that anymore. I mean, we've ripped it to shreds. I have. So I don't want to do that anymore. And God says, fine. Then if any man will, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me. And don't leave out. That's usually the part we quote and we stop. Go on. The whole verse is good. The next verse. For what whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Missionary boards. They interview you for missionary boards. You come up, you sit down, and they say, okay, well, you look like you'd really do the job. You have any questions? Yes, I do. How long do I have to be on the mission field before I can retire? I mean, how much of my money goes into retirement? You know what? You're not for us. You're seeking to save your life. We're looking for someone who's seeking to lose it. Well, I mean, okay, well, I won't worry about that Social Security stuff. Like, will I have a place to live when I come back? You know what? You're not for us. We're looking for someone who's seeking to lose their life, not someone who's seeking to find it. See, it reads like this, or it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Die to self. Deny self. That's how we keep that commandment. Now, a real good friend of mine showed me how to do it. He didn't know he was showing me. He just showed me how to do it. He was an older pastor, near 70 years old, probably at that time 70. And his church, he had a church of about 60, and they were tired of him because he's old. And near 70, his heart wasn't doing too good, and he had a tendency to repeat himself. I do that, and I'm only 26. But he would repeat himself, and I could put up with it because I loved him. You ever notice how if you just go ahead and love somebody, you could really put up with a lot? You've noticed that, haven't you? You haven't? Try it. Love somebody. You put up with a lot. And I would just sit and say, he just told that story 10 minutes ago, but he doesn't remember it, and he's having a ball. Why interrupt him? So his Bible studies were, I admit, boring. But when you love somebody, who cares? I mean, look, you guys sit through here Friday nights. And his church wanted to get rid of him. And so some guy comes along with some slander. It was a lie invented to harm him. If we can harm him, we'll throw him out. 60 people. Mega church. Multi-billion dollar facility that sat 40. You know, so 20 had to stand around. Little bitty thing. Just trying to serve Jesus. They called him into a meeting. Sat him down. So the Bible says we can't receive an accusation against an elder unless there are witnesses. You're the elder. We got some accusations against you. So he sat there and very calmly said, okay, I'm all ears. Well, practically. And so this young man, proceeded to just rail. 30 straight minutes almost. You're this, you're that. I watch you. You don't know how to handle the money. Your brain's going. Your health is no good. The only thing they didn't get to was his feet. I don't know if his feet were fine, but I mean, that's what the only thing that wasn't touched. And then when they were all done, they said, now what do you have to say? And he looked at them all around the table, these men of God. He says, well, I think it's time to pray now. And so they bowed their heads thinking, great, okay, cool. So they prayed. They didn't want to, men of God. And after they prayed, he sat there, very comfortably, said it in Jesus' name, amen. And he looked at them again, and they said, well, what do you have to say? He said, I think it's time to go home now. And he stood up and he went home. What could he say? And I thought, okay, that's what Jesus meant. That's what he meant. Just be calm. Just be quiet. Have you ever tried to defend yourself? You get attacked and you defend yourself. And then the attack comes a little harder and you're defending yourself. All of a sudden somebody joins in from over here And then now you're both sides and you go, well, I didn't mean that. Here's what I meant. You guys are judging me. And pretty soon you're surrounded. Have you had it happen to you? Man, oh man, oh man, if you'd have just hushed, it'd be over. Oh, your reputation may be a little shaky, but remember, it's character that God is building. And of course, if your reputation is no good, the Bible tells you live so that the people that are saying that, others will see it's not true. That's how you handle that one. Just live. And so I thought, wise man. He was able to control his tongue in that particular case. Look at Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. That's got nothing to do with telling time. It's talking about putting angels, a guard there. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. What does he mean? Keep my mouth shut, Lord. Put a guard there. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's the way we're going to be able to be a blessing to God. Alan Redpath, for those of you that have read his materials, he uses the word think. T-H-I-N-K. Think before you speak. T. Is it the truth? What you're going to say. Think. T. Is it the truth? H. Will it help? I. Is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? And K. Is it kind? Now from now on, before we speak, if we're asking the Spirit to lead us, then we'll think first. Is it true? Will it help? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Think. The commandment says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, let's go to the next commandment. Well, it won't take us long, I promise. I know you're worried. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. That's the final commandment, the 10th commandment. That's an interesting commandment. I'll tell you what I mean. That commandment, although our legal system and most of the legal systems on the earth are built on these 10 commandments, that commandment has never been written in any statute book in any country ever. They have never taken that commandment and made laws out of it. Do you know why? It is impossible to enforce it. How can you enforce somebody coveting? You can't enforce it. You can imagine going to a little town and they say, we have a law here. You're not allowed to look at and want anybody's home in this neighborhood. How can you judge when they did it? See, this commandment deals with the heart issue, doesn't it? Oh, all of them deal with heart issues, but I mean, this is directly a heart issue. This one you can't get to. They could deny it in court. Oh, I didn't want his house. And you couldn't prove it. You can't enforce this kind of law. Only God knows your heart. Only God. Isn't that something? To covet means to desire or to set your heart on something that doesn't belong to you. Desire is a heart issue. When I desire something, it's a heart issue. Now, Jesus tackles this in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you have heard it said in the law, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother for no cause has committed murder already in his heart. What was Jesus tackling? He was saying, it's not just the act that's wrong, it's how it came about. It starts in my heart and works its way out eventually. And the 10th commandment says, you shall not desire something that doesn't belong to you. How can you enforce that? Only God can. It can't be done any other way. Interesting commandment, isn't it? For the last one. It is possible to break this commandment and no one else in the world would know it. Break it daily. Gosh, you're such a man of God. You're such a woman of God. Your walk is so strong. But you could break this every 5 to 10 seconds and no one would be any wiser. And your reputation wouldn't have been affected. But where is my character? What about character? That's what God is trying to build. He is working on my heart. Change my heart, O God. We're going to sing it in a little while. Change my heart. Make it ever true. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I cannot do these things. He says, you, Bob, will not covet your neighbor's stuff. And by stuff, I mean house, his wife, his servants. Now, you know something? Let me tell you what he's not saying. Now, your neighbor has a beautiful blue car. Let's just pretend. And you look at that car and you say, that is the prettiest blue. I'd like to have one of those. And so you go down to your local pretty blue car dealer and buy that. You haven't sinned. You're in debt. That's your business. But hey, you know, $45,000 for that little beauty. Has a sewing machine engine, you know. Going to last 20,000 miles, but hey, it's your money, go for it. Just a little commentary on the car business, but you see, you haven't broken that commandment. When you want that one he has, you know, when you want that wife he has, I've seen people say, you know what, that guy, his wife is such a neat girl. If I ever get married, I want to marry somebody like that. That is not coveting your neighbor's wife. Coveting your neighbor's wife is saying, I want that one. And coveting your neighbor's house is saying, I want that house. I'll lie about it. I'll say he stole it. I'll do some slander. We'll break all the other commandments. We'll get that house away from him because I want that. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts, desire. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Starts by coveting my neighbor's house, ends by me murdering my neighbor and saying the house is mine. How did it get that far? How did society get to where it is? By ignoring the commandments of God. And we see people murder and take somebody's car. We see people murder because they want the shoes that person is wearing. We see people murder. You can see cute little David, speaking of character and reputation. Remember David? He wanted somebody's wife. Got her pregnant. And then that wasn't something he thought about. So he murders. He broke the 9th commandment. He broke the 10th. He broke the 1st. He broke the 2nd. He broke the 3rd. He did it all. And so God looks at him and says, I hate you. No, what did God say? David is a man after my own heart. Now how do you explain that? Easy. He confessed, I have sinned against you and you alone. Don't throw me in the trash. Have mercy on me. He humbled himself. And you see, his character was built. His reputation, listen everybody, especially you men, his reputation was high when he committed adultery. What does that tell you? His reputation was good, but his character was in the trash. Now, when he was anointed king, his reputation was in the trash. That's a kid. A lousy shepherd boy. No, that's a lousy job. But his character was so good. God said he's a man after my own heart. God anointed him king. So when his reputation was low, his character was sturdy. When his reputation was high, his character was no good. Think about it. God is working on your character and my character. And so James tells us, remember, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. It's going to start in my heart. The tenth commandment. It's going to start in my heart and it's going to go out. That's where the murder, that's where it all is going to come from. In my heart. We have to avoid that. You will find the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. What's the opposite? Hate, sorrow, unrest, short-suffering, cruelty, selfishness, infidelity, arrogance, and self-assertiveness. What do you see in you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Is that what you see in you? Is that how your daily life is? Or do you see hate, sorrow, unrest, impatience, cruelty, selfishness, infidelity, arrogance, and self-assertiveness? In the heart, this tenth commandment speaks, you shall not desire. How do you control your desires? How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to what? The Word of God. How do I control my desires? I walk with God. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. There is no other way. There is no other way. You can't do it partially. He wants us to bring Him honor and glory. And so, now listen, I'm just going to throw this in before we praise. Keep this in mind. If covet means to desire something that doesn't belong to us, listen closely. We covet when we do not give to God what is rightfully His. Isn't that true? If we're not giving God what's rightfully His, we are coveting, we're desiring, we're wanting something that doesn't belong to us. Like ourselves, our time, our money, our talent, our stuff, our children. We are coveting. Our desires are taking precedence, and in our heart, we've got a problem, and that's why we're not walking with God. What do you think is making the church, not North Country only, but the church, the true church today, what do you think is making it weak? Walking in its own desires. Not caring enough about the Lord our God to love Him that much. Now, all of us are sorry for yesterday. We have all sinned and fallen short, come short of the glory of God. But you see, there is today and from now on. Walk with the Lord your God. Don't do the things that are displeasing to Him. And you say, well, how do I get a desire? How do I get more hungry? How do I do that? By taking heed to the Word of God. We study here, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible says, Isaiah 28, here a little, there a little. Why? Because that is what will strengthen you up. You will see growth if you will stay in the Word of God. The answer is God's Word by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Don't get out of it. Don't be led astray. Don't go any way except the right way. And it will take the Holy Spirit and you stay in the Word of God. Always. No matter what church you go to, you keep that Bible open and you listen to the Lord your God. Let's bow our heads together. We'll just praise for a bit. As the praise band comes up, let's pray.